Is your job just a paycheck, or is it the true calling of your soul? Hey, when I was young, I had big dreams that I was going to make a big impact in the world. I just had no idea what that meant. I had no idea what to do. I didn't know what my purpose was or what direction I should go or shouldn't go, and I was completely confused. If you ever feel like this, like you're in a job, but you don't know if it's your true soul's calling, I've got great news for you. Our guest today, Kimmy Powell, she's advised people all over the world how to find their true passion and then to live it, or at least to live the essence of it today, so that you get the passion-filled life we are all after. Can't wait to share this with you. The revolution is here. I'm talking about a good mood revolution. The Good Mood Show is officially evolving and rebranding to the Good Mood Revolution. There's a lot of reasons because of this, but the biggest one is that you can't just put on a fake happy smile and feel good. We know that choosing good moods means also facing our bad moods, of facing our darkness within, and learning how to overcome it. Because happiness is a choice. It's a choice of our perspective. So the Good Mood Show you love is going to continue on under the new name, The Good Mood Revolution. Get ready for the journey. So when I was in college, I had this thought. It was constant and it kept me up at night. And that was, what the heck am I going to do with my life? I had this burning desire in me to do something great and to make an impact in the world. I just had no idea what that would be. And it really confounded me. I mean, I remember having so many conversations with my college roommate, Nick Weatherly, and just saying, man, I just don't know what direction to go in. I ended up changing my college major 5 times. I started out in engineering, and then I went and got an internship in engineering and hated it. It was so boring to me. But I was good at math, so I thought, hey, that'd be a good path. So then I was like, well, what would be fun? And I'm like, oh, marketing would be fun. So I switched my major over to marketing. And then I got an internship in marketing, and I didn't really like that either. So then I was like, well, when I was a kid, I liked to draw. So I changed my major to art, and I got into art classes for a whole semester, just straight art classes. And it was totally different than anything I'd ever done. And I realized that wasn't my passion. I finally just had a chance encounter with a guy, and he said, hey, you should take this sales class. And I took this class on selling, and I found out that I really liked it. So I just went with it. And when I graduated college, I had a sales degree, and I ended up getting a sales job, and it suited my skill set because I like people a lot, and I liked to talk to people. And then I ended up selling something terrible. It was used recycled toner cartridges. You know, the ink cartridges that go inside the copy machine. I didn't even get to sell the copy machine. I sold the ink, and not new ink, old recycled ink that went inside copy. That was the only job I could get when I graduated college. But I did it to the best of my ability. And little did I know that every step, the engineering step, the art step, the marketing step, the toner cartridge step, all of it was God's design, and all the dots were going to connect down the line, and it was going to turn into what I was meant to do. So if you're ever struggling with what should I do next in my life, we've got the perfect guest for you. Her name is Kimmy Powell. Kimmy has gotten this question from college students at the College of Charleston, where she serves. So many times she decided to write a book about how to explain where to go. Kimmy, welcome to the Good Mood Show.
Hey, thank you for having me. And I can relate to just about everything you just said. I was a fax babe once back in the day.
Oh, you sold fax machines?
I had to, a story similar to that, but it's you and I have a lot in common.
You know who else sold fax machines is Sarah Blakely from Spanx.
Oh, that's great. Well, good. I'm in good company then.
She's the first self-made female billionaire.
Oh, I'm a big fan.
Yeah, I'm a huge
fan. Both Sarah and Spanx. I'm like, why couldn't I have thought of that?
Oh, her father told her to go into this fax machine sales job to fail. because he was telling her failure was a skill and that the more you learn to fail, the more you learn that it's okay to try things. If she hadn't learned this failure from constant rejection of trying to sell these fax machines, she might not have had the gut, the stomach, the bravery to mail a pair of pantyhose cut off to Oprah and launch her $1 billion campaign.
Yeah, she's amazing. She is absolutely amazing.
Well, let's talk about this framework. And I'm so excited about your book and the way that you're helping people find their passion and purpose. And I love that you call it a project because, as you described, this book isn't just something you read, it's something you do, right?
That's right. That's right. And it's not meant to be a long, you know, Pulitzer Prize winning novel. I recognized from the outset, just like you said, just trying, not being afraid to fail, never written a book. I wanted to write a book. So it's a process in itself just for me to learn how to write a book. But I'm hoping that, you know, in the process, I can help other people.
Well, you are. I mean, it's an international bestseller. And, you know, you start with the first chapter and the chapter says it resides within you. You just have to awaken your inner child. Let's go to step one. What do you mean by awaken?
Yeah, it's a great place to start. So in that chapter, we talk about your inner child. What did you want to do when you were a child? Because generally, you know, we develop those core passions when we're very young before the reality, the harsh reality of life sets in and we get on the treadmill of life and just do what we have to do to pay our bills. So when you're really young, you know, you have all that creativity and all that passion. So we like to, in that chapter, the homework of the project is really to think back of what you wanted to be when you're little and ask some of your friends, your parents, you know, people who know you best. So I give examples at the end of the chapter, but for me, I wanted to be a teacher. I wanted to be a teacher my entire life. And so from the youngest of ages, I wanted to be a teacher. So that gives you just a little bit of insight. That doesn't mean that's what you're meant to be, but it gives you some insight into who you are.
Yeah. And so the person that's listening to this show right now, you're probably doing a job right now, you know, or you are trying to figure out what to do next. And so take a moment to think back to when you were a child. What did light you up? What did you want to be? And as Kimmy just described, she wanted to be a teacher. You're not a teacher now, but in essence, writing this book, you are teaching.
Yes, exactly. Like, it's funny how when I went through the book myself and I took myself through the feature funnel as I was writing it, so many things early on. I was a candy striper at 14 years old. I was a cheerleader. I was, you know, an aerobic instructor when I was, you know, young. So many of the things that I wanted to do were really things I'm doing now in a different, just in a little different format. But essentially, the essence of who I am has really never changed. But I didn't know that until later on in life.
So I was, my mom shipped me a box of awards and papers and different little knickknacks and things I had done from school from my whole life that she had saved. And I found that box and like last year, I just started to go through it. And I found a fourth grade paper. And in fourth grade, it said, what do I want to be when I grow up? And I said, a writer.
Oh, wow.
And my book is coming out in November of this year.
Nice. Congratulations. That'll be exciting.
It's crazy that in fourth grade, I had this vision I would be a writer, totally lost track of it, you know, all these years later.
Yes, it resides within.
It resides within.
It resides within.
So, yeah, you know, and I also wanted to be a leader.
Yeah.
I just knew, you know, when I was a little kid, I thought I'll be president of the United States.
Sure. And that's the first inclination of leadership.
Of leadership. Yeah. And then here I am leading a team of 80 people.
Yes. And you're a natural leader.
It just was my vision of where I was going to go. And while I'm not president of the United States, my first title when I started this company was president of this company.
Yes, and probably a better job.
Probably. Yeah, a lot less mud being thrown. A lot more joy probably being celebrated.
More longevity there. But I love it. And I loved your intro because you know, that's really the way life should be. We should be trying more things in high school. And I could get on the educational bandwagon on another time with you. But I think, you know, it was interesting that you did all those jobs. And I've done many different jobs because that does really help formulate a pattern, you know, which is great.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to try different things. And I've done the same thing with my children. We've got four kids and we do it with music instruments and sports and activities. We just wanted to expose them to all of these things.
Brilliant.
And my 10-year-old, she played soccer and she played basketball and she played volleyball and she played tennis but she just kept doing cartwheels. She was always upside down doing a handstand or a cartwheel, always. And finally, my wife and I just said, it seems like you are more interested in gymnastics than you are in sports. And she said, yeah, that's true. And we said, well, do you want to follow that passion or do you want to keep trying to do all these things? And she said, you know, I really want to follow this passion. So now she's in two different days of competitive cheer and one day of gymnastics and she's thriving.
She's in her lane.
It is what she was born to do. I don't even know how else to describe it. I was talking with her about it this morning. I'm like, you just are the most graceful person in our family. You just move different than we move. And
yeah, it's just interesting. And it's, you know, bravo to you for recognizing that in your children, because that's all you really, once you identify the passion, you just really need the mentorship to cultivate it. And so it's so beautiful that you're doing that for your daughter and that she knows, you know, the child always knows roughly what they want to be, you know, or who they are at their core. And so that's why the book starts there.
Yeah. And I think we're born that way. Who we are at our core, of course, there's some nurture. But man, we've got four kids and they all came in with their own agenda and their own personality and their own gifts and their own challenges. And I also think one of my roles as a parent is to identify, I think, what they're meant to work on in this lifetime and help them.
Yeah, I have three boys, 29, 28, and 24. And it's been a lifetime of that. Indeed. And even my youngest son, who's now a software engineer and a pilot, he didn't want to do computer science at Porter Gaud I hope he doesn't listen to it. No, he knows the story. But, you know, 4 years in a row, I'd go into the teacher conference and I was like, he doesn't want to do computer science. Well, then he could go somewhere else to school then. And so we'd stay. And then the next year, tried to get out of it. Well, he can go to another school then. If he's here, he's doing it. And then the next year, then finally, and then he gets a computer science degree in college and then he gets his master, you know. So sometimes as a parent, you do know more than you can see ahead 4 or 5 years on the gifts and talents that they have that maybe they are yet to recognize. And you do sometimes have to lay a little bit more of a gentle guiding hand.
You know, that's so interesting. And so if you're listening to this episode and you're also wondering, hey, what is this passion or purpose of mine? Think about what people spoke over you when you were younger. Barbara Corcoran is a friend of mine and when she was a child, her mom used to say, you're going to be on stage. You're going to be a star.
That's right.
And now she's one on Shark Tank and a huge star.
I know, right?
This TV
she would have
star.
Never probably seen that coming.
But her mom saw this talent to entertain.
That's right.
And spoke over her that you're going to be a star. So and let's say that you do have a family and you do need to pay your bills and you can't just quit the job that's paying your bills and then go pursue this passion full time. Well, you can get the essence of it. So if acting is something you love, I have a friend who is a stand-up comedian on the side. She's a real estate agent, but she also loves stand-up comedy and she goes to open mics and she does comedy on stage. And so she's a star on her stand-up comedy nights, and that's fulfilling a purpose too, even if it's not your full-time job. So
yes, we write about this in the metrics chapter, which is a reality check chapter. But yes, exactly. There's always a way to get started. You know, I like to use the analogy of you know, it's not a new analogy, but of being, you know, on a highway and you have lots of places to go. But if you can just find your lane, you don't really need to know where it ends. You just need to know that you're on the right you know, highway. You're on the right road. You're generally in the hunt of your passion. And the rest of it is just sort of nuanced throughout your life. You know, it twists and it turns, and that's the fun of it. But I like to try to help people get at least to the right lane.
So as you listen to this and you've got this vision, you've got this kind of pull, like your soul is always kind of pulling you to in the direction of your highest purpose. Ask yourself this question: what is the essence of my vision? And how could I do that essence this week? What's one thing I could do this week to fulfill the essence of that vision? As I described, speaking was the vision I had, and podcast was a way I could do that. You could be on a podcast. You could be a podcast guest this week. It's not that difficult to do. Kimmy had this vision of being this keynote speaker. Just setting the vision, then I'm sure, is what inspired the CEO of Make-A-Wish to ask you to be the keynote of that lunch. You don't understand. The universe just conspires to help you fulfill your vision when you decide to make it known.
Absolutely.
Let's go to chapter 2, ruling out the obvious. Know what you don't want.
Yeah, this is a good one because funny enough, you talk to people and they start telling you what they want to do. And then they say, well, I want to own a restaurant. I'm like, okay, so you want to work nights, weekends, holidays, and never see your family. And they're like, no, I don't want to do that. I just want to be, you know, Mrs. Hall. Yeah, well, guess what? That's not exactly how it works. So, you know, you just go through it, but it is interesting how people do have this, disconnect between what they think they want versus what's actually possible and what they truly, truly are looking for, which isn't anything against the person trying. It's just that, it takes a minute to pull all those pieces together to figure out exactly what you're looking for, which is why the third chapter, well, one of the chapters is metrics. I believe it's the third one that's after lifestyle, but you know, You got to know what you don't want. I don't want, like for me, and I write about this in the book, I realized I didn't want to live in Dayton, Ohio anymore. I'm third generation there. My whole family was there. The headquarters of our construction company's there. No one thought I'd leave. And then I was like, yeah, I'm leaving. Like, there's no way you're leaving. I'm like, no, I'm leaving. So, you know, that took a ton of courage for me to leave everything I had ever known and start over here. But
how did it turn out?
It's so far so good. I'm sitting with you 10 years later. I've been here 10 years.
You're looking over the water. It's 75 degrees out. You live in probably the most beautiful town I think ever created.
I agree.
It is, you know, I grew up in Michigan.
Oh, okay. And yeah. You and I have a lot in common.
I knew I wanted to live in someplace beautiful. And it took a tremendous amount of courage to leave everything I knew and everyone I knew to follow this what I just knew in my heart, that I wanted to live near the water and have this beautiful place. And holy, like there's fear, but if you're listening, if you push through the fear and follow your heart, your life is always blessed on the other side of it.
Absolutely. Amen to that. And you know, it's interesting. I write about this in the book and I say it often, and you know, the tipping point, which is when the fear of staying the same is worse than the fear of change. And everybody's heard that in some regard or another. But for me, you know, I speak about that a lot because it is true. Like when you know, I just couldn't see the rest of my life in the same setting. And I just, there's something burning inside of me. And it takes a minute to figure out what that is. Luckily, my oldest son came down here to swim for the College of Charleston. So my husband's from Beaufort, but ironically, we had never been to Charleston. So we'd spent much time in Hilton Head and Fripp Island and Beaufort. But I got over here and just fell madly in love with this city. And I didn't say I'm going to move this city. I said to my husband, I'm going to die in this city.
Wow. I stepped foot. And I do think God gives us breadcrumbs, right? I set foot on the soil for the first time in 2005. And just this knowing came over my body that this was exactly where I was supposed to be. And it's not, you can't explain it logically. I couldn't explain it.
I have the same thing. I call them God whispers.
Mm-hmm. And we have to listen to them. And I do think that it's a skill and it gets stronger with use. And I also think that your soul kind of gives up on you when it's whispering to you and you just don't pay attention. I think it stops whispering.
Yeah, even warnings too. Like I'll tell my boys, God whispers, then God shouts, and then God knocks you over the head. So like you get a speeding ticket, you run a red light, you know, that's a whisper, but that means to, you know, look alive, pay attention, you know, be careful, you know. So it's funny. You and I are very, very aligned on that. And I feel like that the universe is telling you things. And that's why the inner child is so important, because you didn't pay attention to all the noise when you were young. You just did what you naturally wanted to do.
Mm. Yeah. So I agree. I think our entire life is a conversation between us and God.
Yes. And I would.
It's like this big, never ending conversation where we're wanting things, and then God is showing us things with experience or signals or signs or chance encounters. And it's just, the more and more and more I just open my eyes to it, the more and more and more I know it's true. Yesterday, I got some sad news on a voicemail. My dad had left me a voicemail and said, "Hey, this winter has been really hard on me. He's got a lot of health challenges." He said, "I don't think I'm going to make it another winter."
Aww.
And so my heart was just sad.
Yeah.
And then later that day, some more sad things happened. I had, you know, somebody in my office with tears in her eyes. And then something else sad happened. And by the time I got home, I was draped in sadness.
Yeah.
Like it was like I just put on a heavy, sad overcoat. And I just said to my wife, Katie, I said, "Katie, you know, I'm just feeling sad." And she's like, "Well, you just kind of have to go through that today."
Yeah, that's the energy of the day.
It was the energy of the day. And you know, it's sometimes we feel sad and we don't want to and we resist it, and I think that's not the way to get to good moods again. You know, this being the good mood show, I'm just letting you know that it's okay when a day is sad to experience it. We don't want to live there. You know, I didn't want to wake up this morning and continue to feel sad. So I did my good mood rituals when I woke up. I thought about my blessings and I hugged my children and did my gratitude and prayed and asked for guidance. And then I exercised and then I saw happy people and I'm feeling great, right?
Yes.
And so it's a new day.
I call it a waterfall. When, you know, you're trying to get through something, you just got to picture a waterfall. Like you cannot push it back up, right? You cannot push it back up. So get through it. Just go through the waterfall. Guess what? On the other side, it's going to be beautiful again. So, you know, but you can't push water. You can't put the water back up. So just get through it.
You just have to go through it. I like
you
that analogy.
Go through it and feel it.
Yes.
Because this is the last thing I expected to get into, but I'm a very philosophical person, and I love the science. And you know, my minor was in philosophy, my major was in computer science. So I love the early philosophers who were also scientists who just tried to figure out exactly why we're here and what we're meant to do. But to this specific point, you know, you going through things is really critical. You have to feel it. You have to feel it, good or bad. You got to feel it.
Yeah. One of my friends, Mark Nepo, said that when you see the storm coming across the plains, if you can, go around it. And if it's too late, you got to go through it.
Yeah. Buckle up.
Buckle up. If you're in it, you're in it. But it passes, just like the waterfall analogy. So if you're going through a storm in your life right now, don't resist it. Feel what you're meant to feel, and then do some good mood rituals. You're listening to the Good Mood Show. We, you know, Kimmy and I have just given you some very practical things to do to get your brightness back. The number one thing that Kimmy said, and I agree with her, is that everything's energy. Who you hang around influences you more than anything else. So yesterday, my dad was sad. The person in my office was sad. The other person I saw was sad. Their energy, it wasn't me. I wasn't sad. Their energy was just all sadness, and it affected me. Well, today
you gave a little of your energy to them, and that was a blessing to them, but a little bit of a drain for you, which happens sometimes. But you were there for them, and that's a blessing to them. So you probably lightened their load a little yesterday, but it dragged you down just a bit.
I don't. Yeah, we know. I I want to always keep my light on though. You know, like I want to be so up that I can stay in the light even in a sad situation. So yesterday I just wasn't able to keep my light on. One of my favorite sayings is, if you allow your light to go out, you're out of service.
Yes.
So we don't want to perpetually put ourselves in situations with people that drag us down all the time because we're trying to like save them or help them. That's not our job. You know, if somebody's always bringing you down, that's not what you're meant for. You're meant to shine. So some people you may need to distance yourself from. All right, we're going to move to some more of the steps. So we've got beginning with a vision and getting planning.
Yes, yes, yes. So, you know, you want to figure out sort of like, okay, this is what I don't want to do. This is what I think I want to do. This is what I want to do with the child. And then, you know, these three chapters in the mix of metrics, planning and vision are really just about what is real for you. Do you live somewhere that you can, you know, get a part-time job doing this? Do you have the money to take on whatever this thing is you want to take on? Just doing a real reality check and then coming up with solutions. If you don't have enough money, but you live somewhere you could move where you could walk to town, well, then you just freed up, you know, a couple $100 a month or something to pursue something else, or working part-time doing something, just like you were talking about. So really the middle chapters of the funnel and the steps of the funnel are really just getting clear. We talk about having a winning team, like you were talking about surrounding yourself with great people. You need a winning team. You need good mentors. You need good podcasts. You need good juju coming into your energy. So that's what those are about. And then there's a lifestyle chapter and part of the funnel, which is really about taking the words life and style and separating them to your life. What is your style? And really not being a slave to what other people are doing on social media or in a magazine, or that's very, very draining. And I'm guilty of it myself, you know, because we all want our house to look like somebody else's house or something really pretty in Architectural Digest or something. And I'm like, oh, now I want to redo the whole house. but it's one of those things. It's just really being proud of the life that you have and it being the style that's unique to you, so that you really design a life that is centered around you and not so much around what, you know, you think you should be, but what you actually are.
Yeah. You said so much that was powerful there. I want to unpack some of it. So, starting with a vision, I know one of your things is to start with the end in mind.
That's right.
How do you start with the end in mind?
So you first think about how you want to be remembered when you're gone. What legacy are you going to leave when you leave this world? And if you haven't thought about it, it's really hard to build a life of real meaning if you haven't even thought about what it means after you're gone. So, you know, starting with the inner child, and then you go all the way to how do I want to be remembered? What do I want to leave? For me, it's just a legacy of my children and soon to be grandchildren. I want to leave a legacy of, you know, love, guidance, mentorship, education to my children, businesses to my children and grandchildren, you know. So I think about those kind of things for me, because that's what's really important to me, is to leave a legacy for my family that is strong so that the next generation can carry on with the way you're raising your children, right? I'd love to my three boys to turn out to be great dads like you, because that's important to me, because that impacts then all of their children. So, you know, it's really knowing what kind of how you want to leave this world, and then that can back you into steps to take now.
I've played this exercise so many times. It's the end of my life, it's my funeral. Who's there? What are they saying? What do I want them to say? Those are two different things.
Yes.
What are they saying is who I'm being. What do I wish that they would say is my ideal.
Yes. Yes.
And so if you're listening, this is a really powerful exercise. Just grab a paper and a pen, take some time, and just say, fast forward to the end of your life. Let's say it's decades from now, hopefully. And say, if I was to end my life on who I am at this moment, what would people say?
Yeah, and what is your legacy, and how would you like to be remembered? It's important stuff.
How would I want them to say? Who would I want them to see me as? And Kimmy, you nailed it. What I want to be known as is someone that just loved completely, that was always there for my loved ones, that like would do anything, that would go any mile to help the people that I care about. That's who I really want to be, but I don't always fulfill it.
Yeah, well, not, you know, listen, it's an imperfect world, but wabi-sabi is means perfectly imperfect. So you know, the art of being perfectly imperfect, it is a thing, but agreed. And sometimes it can be as practical as a will, life insurance, like some really basic things that you meet people and then they're like, yeah, so my parents passed away and we had to go through probate. We didn't even know that all this stuff existed. It could be something as practical as that is just really taking, you know, thought to the responsibility you have as an adult, to the people that you've brought into this world, to make sure that you've left it as clean and tidy as possible. And this is something I work on every day. I'm like, I don't know, I don't need this. This is clutter. Or, you know, talking to my wealth manager to help guide me through all these complicated laws and tax laws and ever-changing things that happen in the world, to make sure if something happens to me or my husband and myself, that the kids aren't burdened or left with a mess.
Yeah. And for me, that's life insurance too.
Yeah.
So, you know, the other thing that you had mentioned about following our purpose and our passion is having a winning team. I am such a huge proponent of hiring the best. When it comes to investing in my education or my passions, I have just found that if I can find the best coach, the best mentor, the person who's already done it at a high level, and just ask them to guide me, hopefully in a relationship where I pay them because that's what they want to do, it works so much better. Like I skip so many hurdles and mistakes. You know, on this podcast, I asked everyone I knew, who is the best person to help me launch a podcast? The same name, Eric Cabral from On Air Brands, came up from 7 of my friends. I had never met Eric. I got on the phone with Eric and immediately I said, this is the guy. Now Eric's a dear friend. And since that point, I've then hired other podcast coaches, but continuing to work with Eric and just continuing to say, hey, who's doing podcasts at the highest level? And then what are they seeing that I can't see? Because and now the show's improving and it's growing. And it's so whatever your passion is, even if it's going to be a side hustle or a part-time job, you will get to the end result so much faster as if you do what Kimmy suggested and have a winning team. Find who's doing this the best out there. Invite them to lunch. Ask them to mentor you. See if you can find a coach. I found a lot of coaches too by going to Amazon. I go to the bookstore, Amazon bookstore. I type in what I want to do. We wanted to start a property management company 2 years ago. I just said, how to run a property management company. 15 different books showed up. I looked for the best books. We bought the best three. And then we contacted the author of the one that we liked the best. And then he became our coach. And now our property management, 2 years later, our property management company is the highest rated property management company in Charleston. And we went from 0 to 380 clients in 2 years. It's insane. But we started with bootstrap budget. Like it's not like we just went in and bought a firm.
You started correctly. And right. That's one of my very first jobs when I was about 17 was with PQ Systems, which was Productivity Quality Systems. It was a Deming company. If you're familiar with Deming philosophy, it's sort of how Honda started in manufacturing. And it's basically get it right the first time. That's really the essence of the Deming philosophy. But anyway, I learned at a very young age the Deming philosophy and studied it quite a bit. And that's exactly what you're speaking to. Get it right the first time. It just will make life easy. And trust me, I have a lot of failures behind me to reinforce that belief.
Well, having a winning team, I think, is what it's all about for sure. To get it right the first time, because you don't know how to do this passion of yours yet, but somebody does.
That's right. Great advice.
can you just find the one who does it the best? You know, if you want to start like the best spa company in Charleston, you should probably talk to Kimmy because she owns it.
Thank you.
All right. So this is how do we wrap up the passion and the purpose? So the person that's listening has gotten all this great advice. What do you want to leave them with?
Well, you know, do the project, right? So it's a project. But what you really want to leave them with is taking action. You know, that's why there's in the funnel, it's called action. Because at the end of the day, once you figure out, you know, once you narrow down the funnel and you get to the end and you hopefully you will find your lane. And when you find your lane, you can then begin to, you know, take the trip. You don't really have to know where it's going or where it's twisting and turning. You just need to try to get on the right path. And that's all about what we've just spoken about, having a winning team, kind of knowing what you do want to do, what you don't want to do, what's available to you. And the only other thing I would say that I say a lot, and I'm a big, big proponent of, is change. Change is good. Change is not bad. And I think I grew up And for a lot of my life was afraid of change, or the word change in my body symbolized something to be afraid of or fearful of. And what I have learned to do is embrace change, embrace opportunities. Would you like to be on my podcast? Heck yeah, I'd love to be on your podcast. That sounds amazing. You know, so change is so good. And, you know, so many people are afraid to change and they live the same life day after day after day. And there's a quote, I won't get it right, that says like, don't piece together 13,000 days and call it a life. You know, it's not your authentic life if it's the same, if you're just doing the same thing over and over and over and then have this burning flame inside you dying out slowly. What we want to do is recognize that God gave us all a passion and a purpose. So if you feel like you haven't found it yet, it's sort of like a hidden Easter egg. It's there. Trust me, it's there. I hope people go after theirs and try to find it.
So beautifully said. And if you want a framework on how to do that, pick up Kimmy's book. It's called The Passion and Purpose Project by Kimmy Powell. You can get it on Amazon. Kimmy, if anyone wants to reach out to you, what's the best way for them to get in touch?
KimmyKPowell.com.
Thank you so much for bringing your wisdom. Welcome. This was such a good show.
I could talk to you forever. We have a lot in common.
Y'all, thank you for being here, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of The Good Mood Show with Matt O'Neill. For free resources, videos, and materials about getting into your best moods, head over to thegoodmoodshow.com. See you next week, same time, same place.